Congregation, turn to God's word and hear it. Tonight, our reading is Psalm 142. I will read the passage in Hebrews a little later in the sermon. Psalm 142, a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is no one who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you lonely sometimes? Truth be told, you will confess that you are or have been lonely in the past, especially when things were not going too smoothly in your life. Well, that being the case, it is good to read Psalm 142 tonight and find here someone else who was lonely and who found a way out. It's David. His psalms are so powerful because they are so truthful. He doesn't hide his fears, his doubts, and his trepidations from God or from us. And in so doing, you can find yourself in his poems. You, sometimes lonely folks, have in the Bible, right here, what you need when next you go through those dark and dreary, lonely hours. Loneliness is a state of mind that can be corrected only by recognizing that the Lord God knows you who by faith rest upon the one whom he has provided, even Jesus the Messiah, who fully sympathizes with your plight and who will deliver you who call upon him for mercy and grace to help in your time of need. That's what the psalm says. Now, in this sermon, I intend to expose the various aspects of David's memory of this time in his life. Using four words suggested by Derek Kidner, each beginning with the letter P. The first one, prison, prison. Not prison, prison. David is lonely. We know this not only because the psalm speaks of his being alone and in trouble, but also because it begins with a title line saying, and this is part of the psalm, not put in there by an editor, this is part of the psalm, a maskil of David, about the time he was in the cave. A prayer. Now, what exactly is a maskil? Hebrew scholars tell me that it probably means a contemplation, a memory of David. Not remembering David, of David. So if that is true, Psalm 142 is a setting forth of David's own recollection of a particular slice of his personal history, a slice that must be characterized only as a time of extreme loneliness. Look at verse 4. There he complains, "There is none who takes notice of me. No one cares for my soul." Those words are sufficient to reveal what total loneliness David felt. The psalm was not written by David when he was in the cave. He didn't write it then. It probably was written some years later when he was king. And it recounts his memory, perhaps disturbing his sleep one night, his memory of a time when he was indeed extremely lonely. He's remembering those troubling days when he fled for his life from King Saul and found himself in a cave. Actually, when you read Samuel's account, it was two caves at two different times, both incidents described in full by the prophet Samuel. I'm not sure which cave of those two is referenced here in Psalm 142, whether it's the cave of Adullam or the cave of En-Gedi. Quite probably the latter. But David was in both caves, fleeing from Saul, and perhaps in his mind, what happened seemed as one. So he says, "When I was in the cave." In any case, what was David's state of mind there in the cave? Yes, he was lonely. Very lonely. He had no provisions, no followers yet, and no place to turn. It was about his early months in that En-Gedi cave that David's memories swam about in his head. A time before his brothers and other distressed and discontented men began to gather around him and become the core, some 400 in total, of his future army, who were sworn to stand by him and defend him against Saul's 3,000 federal troops just outside the cave's entrance. But before they joined him, David was apparently all by himself. It was as though he had been sentenced to solitary confinement in prison. Captivated and with no hope of escape because of the trouble in which he found himself. David's prison cave was one out of which he could see no way of escape. He was alone and cries out in verses 6 and 7, "I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison." What's your problem, David? His problem was that the strain of being hated and hunted was almost too much for him, and his faith was at full stretch. He had an opportunity to kill Saul in one moment, as the king lay alone, sleeping in the cave. He entered, according to Samuel's account, to relieve himself. But David didn't kill Saul. He only cut off a piece of Saul's clothing. Why did he do that? Because Saul was the anointed king of Israel, and David believed he had no right to assassinate him. So to summarize, David's life had ground to a screeching halt. How would you like to be in his position? There was no way out. Not only in solitary confinement, but apparently, it would appear bound there for the rest of his life, or so it seemed. Utter loneliness. Now that brings us to the second P. Plea, P-L-E-A, plea. Hear verses 1 and 2 again. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. So apparently David was not absolutely alone after all. He had access to Yahweh in prayer. And here he pours out his distress before God, seeking God's help for him in his time of trouble. And he does so urgently, not only in his heart, that is silently and calmly, but outwardly and loudly. There in that cave, all alone. I imagine it reverberated a bit. You know, it's well, Congregation of Grace and Peace Orthodox Presbyterian Church, that you pray not only in your closet at home and silently before the Lord, but that you confess every week out loud and together words of confession of your sin and supplication for pardon thereof. Therefore, through the name of Jesus Christ and on the basis of his atoning sacrifice for you. There was not another single mortal in that cave to hear David. But according to those initial words of our psalm, he pled for mercy with his voice. And I take that literally. He poured out his complaint and told his trouble to the Lord. It was as though Yahweh was there with him. And he was so really there that David prayed out loud. And I ask you, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think about that when you recite our corporate prayer of confession each week here in this room? Do you think about that? My friends, your plea is not rote liturgy. My dear brothers and sisters, it is your plea to the Lord God who is here with you. And you are not pleading for the hearing of others. You are pleading to God alone. And he hears you. Then each week, after you do that, you have the joy of lifting up your hearts to him as he, through the words of the minister, pronounces you absolved of your sin by his matchless grace through the atoning sacrifice of his dear Son and your Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's done out loud too. Yes, you too, like David, were alone, guilty of your sin and misery, with no one able to help in your time of need for mercy, but the Lord God himself. He has come to your aid. He has heard your plea, and he has delivered you from the prison house of your depravity and brought you into the bright sunlight of his loving favor. Hallelujah. Number three, plight. P-L-I-G-H-T, plight. Let's go back to David. Here in verses 3 and 4, he dissects his plight. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is no one who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. And the first thing that he notes in these verses is that just when his spirit faints within him, the Lord knows his way. He doesn't just know the way to go, but the Lord does. You know, lonely people put all the emphasis on themselves. The pronoun I is predominant. The first person singular is the only pronoun they recognize, I. David demonstrates that quite clearly in verses 1 and 2, doesn't he? I cry out, I plead, I pour out, I tell. It's as though he is the only person who exists. But then abruptly he corrects himself in verse 3 saying, you. No, that's second person singular. For the Lord is there. And the Lord is not only there, he is there with his comprehensive awareness of what David is experiencing. In verses 3 and 4, David speaks to God himself saying, it is you who know my way. So apparently David is anything but alone. God is not only in the cave with him, he is in David's very own mind and heart. To understand David's plight is to see the extremity of his complaint. His way, his path, has surely become a dangerous one, surrounded as he is by Saul's army, who have gotten him enclosed in the cave's trap. He needs help and is so far without any friends. Yes, he will get some later, but for now he's alone. He even somewhat brazenly asks the Lord to survey the situation. Look, Lord, have a look. Saying, look to my right and see, there is no one who takes notice of me. To his right. Why does he say that? Well, as we read in Exodus 17, when Moses was besieged by the Amalekites, he had Aaron and Hur beside him, one on his right and the other on his left, holding up his hands in prayer to Yahweh. He was not alone, Moses, and Joshua and all Israel prevailed against their enemy. God gave Moses a right-hand man. And as a bonus, he gave him a left-hand man too. But here is David in his plight, and he hasn't either. God, what's going to become of me? Do you feel that way sometimes? You could use a close friend, someone at your right hand, to whom you could pour out your soul. Someone who would listen and understand. But your plight is so serious that you see no one there, no one at your right hand, able really to take notice of you, to provide you with refuge and care for your soul. Well, I'm here not tonight to announce to you that you're not alone. You Christians, you have company. Not only David, but even more importantly, Jesus himself, who on the way to Calvary found his right-hand man, Peter, thrice denying that he even knew Jesus. Then while hanging on the cross, saw himself forsaken even by his heavenly Father. That was true and incomparable plight indeed, wasn't it? But he was not at the end of his rope, because God was there as his right-hand man, even though he's God. And God brought him through the most grievous trial in all universal time for his son Jesus, even after Jesus descended into hell. Hell! That's the place of ultimate loneliness, if ever there is any. Almighty God raised his son Jesus from the dead and escorted him into his heavenly presence and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And now it is that we read Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what to do when you're next lonely, really lonely. Think of how lonely Jesus was. Now, this David prefigured in his own experience, however small it was by comparison to Jesus' loneliness, in his prayer to God for deliverance from his plight. As you read in verses 5 and 6 of our psalm, I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Here David says, God is my, and this is the fourth P, portion, my lot, my piece of the blessing, my portion. Here David expresses confidence in God in spite of his circumstances. As far as he could see, he was deserted in the cave alone. Yet when he said that God was my portion, he's really saying was that God was all that he needed. And in these verses, David saw that God was three important things for him, all of which are included in that idea of portion. The first of these, David says, is that God is his refuge. Psalm 57 is a companion to our text tonight. There in its first verse, David tells God, in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past. Now he had already in the two previous verses of our psalm complained that he had no refuge from Saul and his 3,000 soldiers who had hidden a trap for him. That was truly serious trouble, and he could see no way out of the disaster coming, no place of refuge. But you know, and I think David knew it too, that God was his refuge even in the land of the living. Here's where we come to portion. For even if he should escape from Saul and go on living, he still needed refuge. We ask him, refuge from what? Refuge from God himself. For he was a sinner, subject to the wrath of God, which is far more deadly than the wrath of any human enemy. How in the world was David, and how in the world are you, who share in David's plight, to escape this greater danger? The only answer is by hiding in God himself, who offers both David and you refuge from his wrath in Jesus Christ. That's what Charles Wesley was talking about when he wrote, other refuge have I none. hangs my helpless soul on thee. Augustus Toplady prays the same reality when he prayed, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. God is his portion. And I ask you tonight in God's name, have you found a refuge from the just wrath of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's far more important for you to discover than for you somehow to escape the critical loneliness of your standing guilty and with no defense in the dock of God's severe judgment. The second aspect of what David conceived as God being his portion is found in his cry that the Lord is his portion in the land of the living. I think he's referring here to his earthly possessions, the land of his living. He had a pretty good living. He was king of Israel. And he's referring to his earthly possessions, his status. Now, don't forget that he has been destined to be the king of Israel, and he is saying that even in that state of being the wealthiest of men, which he had become when he was writing this psalm, apparently, the entirety of what he was and owned was that he had God. God was his portion. Even as our Lord Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when you link that announcement to David's cry in our psalm, you who trust in the Lord may know that you, as a believer, are richer than even the wealthiest people of this world. God is your portion in the land of the living. The third aspect contained in God being David's portion is found in verse 6. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Now, this confession is not expressed in direct speech, as the two previous points were. It is expressed as a prayer or a plea for help. Still, it is an expression of faith that God will indeed save him. And I ask you here tonight, is God your Savior from sin, from Satan, from the enticements of this world, and indeed your Savior from yourself as a fallen, depraved sinner? You need that. And I conclude tonight with the fifth P, very briefly. Prospect, prospect. That's verse 7. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. That's the opposite of loneliness. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. When next you're lonely, remember that you're in the church. And the righteous surround you. David's prospect is positive and wonderful indeed. For God will deliver him out of his prison so that he might give corporate praise, corporate thanks, and corporate worship of Yahweh together with the whole church of the righteous ones surrounding him. And he is anything but lonely. You too are anything but lonely when you have God, your God, and you get with him his church. Hallelujah and amen. Dear God, we may not feel lonely just right now, tonight, especially when we hear these comforting and assuring words of what David went through and came to realize and remember and lean upon. He had you as his God. but also because we may know that we have you, and especially through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by his Spirit, as our Savior, our refuge, our deliverer from the prison house of our sin. But maybe, O Lord, there'll be some tomorrows when we will be caught in the position where we'd have to say, I never felt so alone as I do right now, whatever circumstances might have caused that. But, O God, help us then to remember Psalm 142 tonight. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name.